Good afternoon. What a pleasure to meet you again. Well, what I said, to meet you again. I dreamed about it. I dreamed just to meet you, to see you here in front of me. And according to the restrictions and pandemic, again, we are not able to meet face to face. But anyhow, we have something important to say. We have something important to share. I would like to invite you to the topic that I entitled today, I Am of Christ. Well, what does it mean? I have to share with you a story that had happened in the Church of Corinth. Apostle Paul, who was just traveling around Asia Minor and also came to Europe, he was in the territory of Greece and in the city of Corinth. He organized, planted the new church. But then Paul had to go to other places. He left them there. And something happened what is very typical to our times also. Corinthians started to fight with each other because everyone thought that they are more important. Think about it, what they said. Some of them said, well, we belong to Paul. We are so important. He was the organizer of this church. He planted us. He just taught us so much. We are so important. But there was another group, and they said, wait a moment. We still remember as Apollos, this Jew from Alexandria. He came. Oh, he's so talented. He preached to us in such a wonderful way. Well, we are so important because of Apollos. And there were the other ones. The other ones came and they said, well, but we are from Cephas. Cephas, there was a name used also for Apostle Peter. He was so important. Some of the people already considered him as the leader of Christian church. Even it was not Peter. It was rather somebody else. There was James the Older, who was in Jerusalem, and he was organizing the Christians, and he was influencing them. But already in these days, the Christianity divided into some parts. There were the Christians in Jerusalem. There were the Christians also in Syria. There was the Christians also in Alexandria. So in Corinth, they started, in a way, to discuss about it. Look at the verse that is so important. And the verse you can find in First Epistle to Corinthians. Apostle Paul has written in the first chapter, in the beginning of this verse, first chapter and verse 12. Now I say this, that each of us says, I'm Paul, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. I just wonder who said this, I'm of Christ. For I have no doubts that Apostle Paul was the one who was saying it, because he always said that he is of Christ, that I am his apostle. He just underlined it so many times. But you know, I like this expression. Even I honor these facts that, you know, they divided into groups, and we just proposed to many churches that we should divide and meet in our homes, you know, as a home groups. But there was a different division. I like what I read about Apollos. I write what I read about Apostle Paul. I love it very much, what I can find in the Bible about Peter. But I love the most to say, I am of Christ. This division in Corinthian church was not so important. But if you remember, maybe some of you do, I quoted you last time as I preached here, the very wise sentence that was said by Desiderius Erasmus, this great philosopher and religious leader, the real good Christian, living in the 15th and beginnings of 16th century. And let us look now at this beautiful quotation that we find in the Bible. The quotation sounds, "I, a man who loves peace is more needed than a wise man." So Paul was this one who loved peace. He was just planting peace everywhere. As he was traveling from place to place, he was just trying to persuade people that we should live the life of peace. just organizing the groups, home groups, is very important, and it helps us a lot, as long as they are just caused by the love of peace, by the love to each other. We want to grow in Jesus Christ. So are we of Christ? How is it with us? The question comes very simple. What does it mean, I am of Christ? I would like to share with you now 7 important points, what I found, what in my opinion means and shows what does it mean to be of Christ. But before, let me just bow my head for a moment, and I encourage you also to do the same. Lord, we just want to speak and study now about what does it mean to be of Christ, to belong to you. We would like to be of Christ. So be with us now and open our minds that we can understand what we are going to study, that we can concentrate on this. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, then, what does it mean? What does it mean to be of Christ? The first point will be very simple. If it is a personal declaration, so it means that I accept it as mine, his divine mission. It's important. And let me just share with you my personal experience. I heard about Jesus, and I heard about the truth a lot for a long time. I was growing in it in a way as a little boy, and then I have forgotten it, and I left the church, and I completely was not interested in religion, and then I came back, and I started to look and to search and to find the answer for so many questions. I could share with you for hours my experiences, everything what the Lord has given me to persuade me, just to direct me the right way. I still remember, as I found one book so important in my life. It was written by a very great theologian and important person, the leader of the church. The title was very simple, Christ Our Righteousness. I read the book, and I started to translate this book into Polish language. It was so important. This book helped me to direct me to the Bible, to direct me to the church, to direct me straight to Jesus and to be with him. And what decision was made at the moment? Well, Jesus expects something from me. Jesus expects something, that I have to do something. I have to realize his mission, because that's his work in this world. So that's exactly what I started. I started to work. I started to share. There was a time that I used to be the conductor of the chamber choir, Advent Sound. We started to work. We started to go around and to preach through song, to deliver the message of salvation, to deliver. That's what is the mission about. Not something what I read, not something what somebody told me, something what I experienced and I have to share. To be of Christ means to accept his mission and to say, this is my mission. Dear friends, I have to tell you that it's such a privilege to experience it and to do it. It's so important. What does it mean? What it means to accept his mission? To identify with him. I found this beautiful verse in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You know it for sure. I have no doubts. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says, and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body is life by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you realize now what it means, identifying with Jesus? We have to be like him. We have to think like he thought. You know, we have to do whatever he did. We have to follow him in everything. That's identification in his mission. Because his mission in this world was just to come, save, and help people. But there is another point that I found to be of Christ's. If it is my personal declaration, it means I recognize his fundamental dignity. Well, probably you think now, what do you mean by this? We know that there is a dignity of somebody who is important. I know that somebody who has the influence on my life, it's very important. But what does it mean? What does it mean just to be the person who recognizes his dignity? Well, there are many, many Christians in this world who say yes, and they just lift their hands to heaven. They just want to move a little bit, and they say, "Worthy is the Lamb." And they sing the songs, and I love those songs. And I love to say in my prayer also, "Lord, you are worthy of all the glory." That is true. But it must mean something more. You know, if we respect somebody on this earth, and if we think that he's important in our life, it changes everything in our life. Did you notice? If he is happy, we are happy. If he is sad, we are sad. If he is celebrating something, we are coming to celebrate with him. We even dress in a special way. We are looking differently. We are behaving differently because we respect somebody. His dignity is so important for us. That's what it means for me to respect his dignity, to recognize it. Whenever I come to the Lord in a prayer, besides the moments that I think about him, as I pray, there's something special for me. I love to kneel in my prayer because it means a lot. I love on his day to be dressed differently because it means a lot. I try to behave differently, talk differently, think about different things because it means so much for me. His dignity is just uplifting me to his level. Isn't it so? That's what his dignity means for me. And that is so important. And it means a lot. But let's go to another point, what is also very important. You know, if it is a personal declaration, it means I believe in his principles of faith. Oh, yes. Jesus, as he came here to this earth, he was making miracles, he was healing people, he was feeding people, he was helping, he was interested in everything what they needed. But at the same time, as Jesus was here on this earth, he was teaching people. What he was teaching about? About his Father and about his will. And he was teaching what it means to follow him. He was trying to teach them, to persuade them that God has expressed his will in commandments. And he's just advising us. It's not just saying only about love. It means much more. Well, what it means? It means that we should tell and remember always about his reason to come to this earth. It means that we should remember and always come back to the topic so important in our lives, that as he came to live the sinless life for us. But he wants us to live the same kind of life. We have to remember that as he came to this earth, he came just to show us how to live, being in touch with the Father all the time. He told us how to pray, and he told us about all the principles of normal physical daily life. That's what we have to remember. That's what we have to keep in mind all the time, because it is so important to remember about all the principles. They are about our health. They are about our nowadays life, daily life. They are about our future. That's so important. We have to remember. We have to obey. Oh, well, I used probably something that we are not so very much interested in this. Well, there was one writer who is very famous, the French writer, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, who lived, in fact, in the beginning of 20th century. We know the book, and I would ask you how many of you have read the book The Little Prince. But this book has the collection of fantastic thoughts. I would like to share with you one thought now. Look at these, because it will be shown on the screen. Love is not a treasure that you got, but a mutual commitment. That's important. Did you notice? Light is not a treasure that you got. It's a mutual commitment. Let's talk about this vertical love. We love God. We love Jesus. There is a commitment, mutual, from Jesus. He promised to be with us, to guide us, to help us, to support us, to teach us, to correct us, to bless us. But you know what is expected from us? To accept everything what he taught, to follow him with every teachings that he left us, to read the Bible as a scripture that has so much to tell us. Yes, he came to this earth just to teach us such important things. Our commitment, as we want to follow him, as we want to be of Christ, leads us to this point, and it is so important. Well, probably you are interested in the fourth point that I want to share with you now. And let's go to this fourth point, because that's very important. You know, if we are of Christ, and if it is a personal declaration, it means I rely on his sacrifice. And I have to tell you why. I'd love to tell you. You know why we rely on his sacrifice? Because even if we try to follow him in everything, the sacrifice, his sacrifice, is the most important. It starts. It's, as I am asked sometimes to share with people about what is salvation consisting of, I'm telling the first is incarnation of Jesus Christ. Well, without it, we wouldn't have the Savior here. Well, the second, I say, that is his sinless life. That's an example for all of us. The third is his sacrifice on Calvary. What important. And I praise him for this always, every day, when I think that Jesus died for me. For you also. Well, then there is the next point, the fourth, that he resurrected. Never forget it. There is no value of the dead Savior. We have the living Savior, now living. That's so important. The fifth is his ascension to heaven. What important it is. What important it is. The sixth is his intercession, is his work as our advocate, our representative. And the seventh is his coming back to take us home, to the prepared place. I love those 7 points. And I know that some Christians would be angry with me because they say, well, Calvary, that's everything what counts. Yes. Plus all these 6 other things. There will be no Calvary if there will be not incarnation. There will be no value of Calvary if not his sinless life. There will be not much of Calvary if our Savior would be the dead one now. There will be not much importance if the Savior would be here on this earth still. He ascended to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. The Calvary means a lot because he is just interceding for every one of us. The Calvary means a lot because he has promised to come back. That's why I rely on his sacrifice, because it is the crown of everything, but that's everything important what he did. And praise God for this. There is one verse that I love so much. Apostle Paul has written, and in fact, I told you once that, you know, this verse is of my conversion. But God demonstrates his own life for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the reason it's so important. That's the reason I trust and I depend on this. Not when I was a little better. Not when I had just few sins less. No. At the moment as I was in a gutter, at the moment as I was worth nothing, nothing, nothing at all, Christ died for me. And that's the reason I have a value. Let's go a little further. It makes something of me. You know, his sacrifice leads me to the fifth step. And the fifth step is very important. If I say that I'm of Christ, and if it is a personal declaration, it means I love him and I trust his divine person. Why it is so important? Well, the love, that's obvious. You know, somebody died for me, so I love him. But trusting him, it means that I know what it means. That his death means much more than I can comprehend. That his death means a lot for my whole life. Yes, dear friends, it is so important because if I trust him in everything, I follow him in everything. If I trust him in everything, I start to make the fifth step, and it is again very important. But you know, before the fifth step, let me share with you what for Apostle Paul meant to be of Christ. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, there is this 39 verse. How beautiful it is. Neither height, nor depth, nor everything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the reason I love him. That's the reason I trust him. Because I know that loving him and trusting him, I know that nothing is going to separate me from him. Oh, I love him so much for this. He's such a wonderful, wonderful Savior, wonderful friend, and following him is so important. And now we are going to the sixth point, and I tell you that's the result of everything. And I want to tell you that, you know, the sixth point tells me a lot about obedience. Oh, wow, we don't like this. I notice meeting so many Christians, they say, well, forget about obedience. You have to love and that's enough. No, love is always obedient. And if I say that I'm of Christ, and I repeat the sentence every time, and if it is a personal declaration, it means I am obedient to his will. What is his will? What it means? Well, it could take us a long time to explain about everything. His will is to save us. And he will never do it pressing on us his salvation. He will never do it just saying you have to. No. He's just encouraging us and offering something. That's the difference. His will is showed in the commandments of God. I come back to this again because they are so important. They tell me about my relation with him, and they tell me about my relation with other neighbors here on this earth. They regulate everything in my life. There is no need of any other law. We respect a lot of different laws that people invented, created, prepared, published, printed. But God has said just in these 10 commandments, 10 words about everything. How important it is. Sometimes I ask some people, can you tell me about the commandments? And say, oh, I don't know if I remember. Some of you should remember because that was your answer also. How not to remember something that I am asked to obey? How not to remember something that regulates my relation with my Lord? And that's the only thing that I should think about, especially realizing the fact that He's doing everything to help me, that I will be obedient. God is a fantastic God. Can you agree with me? God is so unusual. He is asking for something and doing it for us, giving strength for us, giving wisdom, leading us the right way. That's the reason that it is so important. You know, in a book that is treated by most Muslim people as such important, the Quran, there is one beautiful sentence. Happiness is the only thing that multiplies when being shared. Did you notice? Happiness of being obedient for the Lord, if we share it, suddenly it's growing. It multiplies. That's what happens with happiness. But it leads me to the seventh point, very, very important. If I am of Christ, it is a personal declaration of me. I wait for meeting Him, dreaming about it, talking about it, sharing with others this truth, being really happy because of such fantastic promise. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to prepare the place for you. But if I will go and prepare the place, I will come back to take you, that you will be with me where I am. What the beautiful words of Jesus. That's the promise that gives us the power in nowadays. In the days of such a crisis of the whole world, in the days where pandemic is shared everywhere, in the days where we have the problems and we have to be restricted, we have to be locked down, in the days where there are so many problems we are facing every day, God says, don't worry, believe in me. That's what it means to be of Christ. You know, Christianity means life experiencing 3 F. Oh, I could say 4 F even. One is in Christ, another is with Christ, another is to Christ, and the last is because of Christ. But let's look at this. What is in Christ? Well, Christianity means faith in Christ Jesus. Extremely important. Christianity means fellowship with Christ Jesus. Being together, walking together, singing together, praising Him. And Christianity means faithfulness to Christ. Remember it, please. Those 3 F are the secret, because if you believe, if you are with Him, have the fellowship with Him, and if you are faithful to Him, then you can experience a very important thing, fruitfulness for Christ. That's because of His presence in our life. That's how it is. I want to share with you my last study during this week. I was thinking about it a lot. And I tried to find out something, some verses. First, I came to the one quotation that comes from the ancient philosopher, Greek philosopher, Epictetus. You have the dates, you know, when he lived. He said, the strength of man doesn't depend on falling, but on the fact that he's able to rise. Well, I would correct him. I would discuss with the philosopher. I said, no, that's not the strength of man that we can raise. Without Jesus, we cannot raise. Without Jesus, we'll be lying down there in the gutter. But with him, we can rise. What a pity that he didn't understood. He didn't understand this secret. But the verse that I found, and it was this week, there was something great. Apostle Paul to Galatians has said something beautiful. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have closed yourself with Christ. Can you believe? Paul said about being closed in Christ, with Christ. How can I be closed? You know, I read this verse many times before, and I always understood that there's some kind of a courtesy that Paul is using such words. But it was not so. It was much more than courtesy. You know, the Greek word that is being used there, it means being clothed in Messiah, and the Greek word is enedousaste. This word means to be clothed like we put on the shirt, where he put on something. We have to put on Christ, and with him will work. I put here some more information for you. Just read this. So being clothed in Messiah is not an elegant metaphor. When we encountered God's Spirit, the biblical authors describe individuals being dressed in divine attire. This way, Paul declares that anyone close in Christ has become one with the Messiah. And that's what means to be of Christ. Well, I had the plan to finish this sermon, and I had the plan to teach you the song, Now I Belong to Jesus, my beloved song. I love this song, and I sing it for so many times. I can tell you even that one time I put the melody of this song as a signal of my mobile, and it always reminded me whenever somebody called me. This song has beautiful lyrics. I will read for you. Well, I will not sing it, but look at this. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. The second stanza tells us, once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. And the third stanza tells us, joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long has enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. And the beautiful culmination of everything is the other words of the chorus. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Dear friends, will you sing such a song for yourself? In such a beautiful way, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Let it be our wish and our prayer. Amen.